land, who has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore. Words, who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore.
There we go. Good morning. We're going to stand this morning and we're going to sing this old hymn that reminds us to count our many blessings. Count your blessings. Let's stand and sing this morning.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will decide you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
we're going to sing Goodness of God while you're up.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkness. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been
to hear you sing this morning. How many of God's been good to you? That's what this Thanksgiving service is all about. So glad you're here. Everybody put a smile on your face. Smile for me real big, all right? There you go. Great to see you today. We're going to have prayer for the offering today. We're going to take two offerings today. Just a reminder, at the close of the service, we'll have our Thanksgiving offering. And this year, we're putting a roof on Colton and Lydia's home. And so be prepared for that, but that is at the close. If you could help us right now, this offering will just be for our regular tithes and offerings. Let's be very generous today, and I know God is going to bless. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you have been so good, and we are so grateful. May this service just lift you up. May everyone see you today. And Lord, may we get out of the way Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. My name's Pastor Colton. I see a lot of new faces out there. I'm the youth pastor here, and I just wanted to thank you for joining us. If this is your first time, we'd invite you to fill out a Connect card. You can do that two ways. In your pew, there's a little QR code you can scan. You can do it right on your phone. Or if you prefer, we have a paper copy right out these back doors at the Welcome Center. Whether you do it on your phone or in person, we just want to thank you for joining us by giving you a free gift. All you need to do is fill out that slip and go to the Welcome Center, let them know it's your first time, and they'll get that free gift to you. This is exciting. I was just telling them up here, I see some t-shirts, and you'll see them here in a moment. In fact, Jaden, stand up for me. Show them your t-shirt. Turn around, show them your t-shirt. This is Jaden. He's getting baptized today. Yeah, that's awesome. We've got 9 that are getting baptized today. One more is going to get baptized in a few weeks. So 10 overall for baptisms, 9 today. But they get a t-shirt that says, I have decided. And it's just so cool seeing them wear these up here. I get excited about that. But I want to encourage you to encourage them. Right after the service, we're going to meet in the teen room. So if you could, just go out these main doors, go all the way down the hallway, stay for just a few minutes, watch them get baptized, go crazy, cheer for them, because this is an awesome decision. They just want you to know they gave their life to Jesus, and I think the least we could do is be there to encourage them for that. But I'm proud of all of them, and I can't wait to do that. Coming up, we have our Christmas potluck dinner. I can't believe that's already here, but in 2 weeks, we'll have a Christmas potluck dinner here at the church after the service. What we're going to ask you to do is sign up so that we know how many people are coming. The church is going to provide the meat. We're going to ask you to bring a side, salad, or dessert. So again, that is Sunday, December 8th. You can sign up on your bulletin. If you got a bulletin today, there's a little QR code, or if you prefer paper, in either lobby, there's a sheet of paper you can sign up. Just put your name and how many people in your family are coming. This is no cost to you. Just bring a side, salad, or dessert. We also will have our Christmas poinsettias on display on December 8th through December 18th. If you would like to purchase one, they're $10, and we'll have them displayed up here in a few weeks. And these are in memory or honor of a loved one. So if you'd like to purchase one of those, you can also sign up in either lobby. Last announcement for you, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Wes. This Wednesday, we have no midweek activities. So if you show up here, the lights will be off, the doors will be locked. You're welcome to hang in the parking lot, but we won't be here. But we want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Spend some time with your family. That's all I have for you this morning. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Wes. He has a few updates for you.
They decided that was enough of you, right? So, this is 19 years of shoeboxes that this church has been doing for Operation Christmas Child, for Samaritan's Purse, 19 years. So next year, it'd be easier for me to remember the number, obviously, but I'm always amazed by the generosity of this church in all the things that we do, not just this. But I was thinking as Colton was speaking a second ago, you know, all these young people, as a gospel opportunity, because first it was a gospel opportunity that was given to them, and now they're a gospel opportunity to go share what they know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 20 years ago, when I came to Brother Earl and I said, the Lord has really laid on my heart that our church needs to participate in this. And Earl, being Earl, he didn't tell me right away, go for it. He had to come to it with a prayer, and the Lord had to tell him it was okay for us to move. And we moved. And people have come and gone. We've packed a few hundred boxes. We've packed a few hundred boxes. We've never worried about a number. We always worry about the opportunity of the shoebox to go to places that may not ever get in the hands of a child that needs to hear that somebody loves them. So this year we didn't set a number. Usually, I have a kind of a number in my head, and that's kind of where I think we'll get to. And believe it or not, after all these years of doing it, I can kind of look at how much is here and kind of tell you how many we're going to do pretty close. But several of us that were in the movings of it just kind of decided, we've really decided that over the last few years, as things in the world have gotten not a lot better, that we want to make sure that every box is really packed well, not just packed with stuff. So as you see, and some of you have done this now that you had not ever done it before, you can pack a lot of stuff in this little shoebox. You wouldn't think that you could, but once you get rolling, you can really get rolling. So we decided that we would pack 600 really good boxes. And in most countries, the most sought out thing that anybody wants, Brian's going to send it to me now, is this soccer ball that's coming down here. Okay? Now, you guys can go out to all the different stores and spend $5, $6, $8, $10, $12, $15, whatever it is. This is a good soccer ball, by the way. It's made out, they have five different grades of soccer balls. This one's made really well. And it says, Jesus loves me. In 9 languages. And I asked Wayne one year, I gave him an opportunity to look real smart. I said, what's that say? And he said, I don't know. But, hey, Wayne, what's this say? It says, Jesus loves me in 9 languages. So because of your generosity, we put over 600 soccer balls in 600 of these. That was our goal. This is the first year we ever really set a goal, per se. Because we wanted to pack 600 really good shoeboxes. And I had some folks that said, well, you're putting a box in a ball in the box for boys, and you're putting a ball in the box for girls. And yes, because in all these countries, soccer, what they call football, is a big deal. So we decided we'd do 600 really good with a soccer ball. Now, we had to mash the soccer. We had to mash a soccer ball, and you roll it up like a little burrito with the pump inside. Because, you know, what good's a soccer ball if you don't have a way to pump it up when you get it? That would be really a kick. So we did 600, and then we stopped to pause to see what we needed to do. And some of us kind of thought 600 was going to be the number. But the number was not 600. God's number was not going to be 600 this year from this church. So we condensed down, we kept on packing. We're still packing really good boxes. They just don't have a ball in them now. And sometimes math gets hard. As we learn every year, math gets hard. And so we thought we had a little more than we did. But anyway, when we set them all in the floor last Sunday afternoon at the church we drop them off at, you stack them in fives, and then you go count. And even then, math is hard because we had four people count. We had four different numbers. This is why I don't put a lot of stock on counting. You know, the Bible usually didn't work out real well if you did a lot of counting. But once we got everybody on the same math system, you guys set 770 shoeboxes last week over in the floor of Lynn Haven Baptist Church. And I'll tell you that in today's economy, it's about twice as much what we put in a box than what we used to put in a box at cost. You guys took care of that. We have folks that give money. We have folks that give their time. We have folks that say, I can't do it. You go shop for me. You know what to buy. We have folks that just shop and shop and shop. We have three ladies that just shop their little fingers off. But that's another 770 opportunities. And maybe that magnifies beyond that, to where we share the gospel of Jesus Christ 770 more times in these little shoeboxes. And for that, I just wanted to, again, one more time say thank you on this Thanksgiving Sunday for what you do. Some of these people, they all want to tell me what a great job. I don't do anything. I just talk. Some of y'all know I'm really good at that. But 770 more opportunities. The Bible tells us to praise God, right? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I get this out of that. It says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let's stand and sing the doxology this morning.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We're going to sing this song. This is All Creatures of Our God and King.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. sincere. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him, alleluia.
One more for you.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank
Jesus, you have saved my life. Throw me from the darkness into glorious light.
You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus, for the
the book of Ezekiel, the last verse in Ezekiel, God showed the prophet a vision of the city that's going to be occupied during the millennial reign of Jesus. And it's an interesting verse because it gives a name of God. This is the only time in the Hebrew this is used for God. It's Yahweh Shema. And it's interpreted in our Bibles, the Lord is there. You see that? And the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there. This promises God's presence. Wherever God is, wherever Jesus is, that's where I want to be one day. Can you say an amen right there? Isn't that where you want to be? Well, the Lord is going to rule on the earth for those 1,000 years from the city of Jerusalem. He's going to be there. Now, you say, well, what's the next event on God's timetable? Well, it's the rapture of the church. We as believers are called the church. And we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. You say, preacher, when that going to happen? I have no idea. Do I think it's going to be pretty soon? Yep, but Paul thought it was going to be pretty soon too. So we got to live every day in expectation that it could happen at any moment. Okay? The rapture, we're out of here. We're going to go up to heaven for 7 years. Down here on earth, boy, they're going to be going through a mess called the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, now, many will come to Christ during the tribulation. We're going to come back down to the earth with Jesus
and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, when he comes to reign during that millennial time, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the first time he came, he was rejected, he was crucified, but the next time he comes, it's going to be totally different. He's going to be large and in charge. Amen? Yahweh Shema. It just simply means that the presence of the Lord is going to be with his people forever. We're going to enjoy his presence during the millennium. After that, 1,000 years, then a new heaven and a new earth will be formed. And we're going to live with Jesus in eternity forever and ever. I wonder this morning, do you take God's presence for granted? This morning, I just want to remind you today, let's be thankful for God's presence. How many have felt his presence in our service this morning? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? You say, we're not supposed to base our lives on feeling, but buddy, it sure feels good. My faith produces some good feelings. My faith in Jesus. And I just have 3 points today. I do have some sub-points under one. But we'll get to that. Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, the Lord has been there. I could say the Lord has always been there. He doesn't have a beginning and an end, right? He's always been there. But I thought of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember, they sinned against Almighty God. That intimacy was destroyed right away. But God did not abandon sinful humanity. Instead, he begins to reestablish a relationship with them. He chooses a people of his own, the Israelites, the Jews. He delivers them from slavery in Egypt. He dwells with his people, first in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then he dwells with them in a movable, temporary tabernacle in the wilderness. And later in the Jerusalem temple. But still, God's people sin. At the height of the idolatry of God's chosen people, God withdraws his presence from them. He withdraws his presence not only from the temple, but also from the city of Jerusalem. He's fed up with their rebellion. You know what he says in effect? I've had it. I'm out of here. Ezekiel witnesses the glory of God departing from the temple. You can read more about that. God removes his hand of protection over them. For 70 years, they're taken captive in Babylon. God allowed it because they chose the world over him. They were taken captive by this world. Y'all remember Demas in the New Testament? What did Paul say about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. If you're not careful, you get your eyes off Jesus, you're going to start loving the world more than you love Jesus. That's what they did. God had to judge his people for their spiritual adultery. We serve a jealous God. He wants your undivided love. He doesn't want you sharing your love with anybody else. He's a jealous God. They had taken his presence for granted. They were in captivity. Now, the captivity was necessary, but God did not completely let them go. Aren't you glad at times of rebellion in your life, God has not let you go? We're still sinners, right? But by God's grace, he still is right there for us. We need to be reminded of that today. God's presence. His love and mercy were always with the Jewish people. Yahweh Shema was intended, when Ezekiel mentioned that name, it was to give them hope. Hey, God promised to restore the city, to restore the temple, bring them back to himself. bring them out of exile if they would just repent. So this was to give them hope. They eventually did return to Jerusalem. They eventually did rebuild the walls. God's presence returned to the temple in the form of a tiny baby brought to that temple to be offered back to God by his parents, Mary and Joseph. And we're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus in 2 weeks. And probably going to spend probably 3 weeks in that, right? Because it's going to be time to celebrate his birth. Now, through his sacrifice, Jesus, all who come to him by faith, believing, have eternal life. So all the sacrifices of the Israelite people through the ages, finally Jesus came and gave his life on the cross. That's the last time. One sacrifice for the sins of all the people in the world. I wonder, do you need to trust him as your Savior today? Jesus is the only way. Somebody's talking to me, amen? Maybe they need to be saved today, all right? Well, I'm just here to tell you, we need to give thanks because the Lord has always been there. Number two, the Lord is here now. He's reigning in our hearts, if you're a Christian, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enters your life as soon as you receive Christ as your Savior, as soon as you get saved. As you surrender your life to Jesus, he sets up his throne in our hearts. When he comes in, I tell you, things start to change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, when something as big as God moves into your life, people ought to see a difference in us. Old things need to be put away. God makes all things new. Now, that means God's presence is not limited to a tabernacle or a temple, but he is accessible to us right now. I pray that people can point to our lives and say, the Lord is there. The Lord is with that person. It ought to be so obvious to people that God is with us, that we are his children. They ought to say, boy, the Lord is there. I got 3 points under this one. The Lord is here now in times of trouble. Isn't it wonderful to say, I've got a refuge for my problems? I've got someone I can turn to. I have a friend that can comfort me. I have somebody, no matter what happens, he is there. Aren't you glad the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Even in times of trouble, the Lord promises in Psalm 46:1, say it with me if you know it, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, only the redeemed can say that, right? Only we that are saved can say that. Now, he doesn't protect us in order to pamper us. You know what he does? He shelters us so that he can strengthen us for the journey ahead. He doesn't promise to always deliver us from our troubles, but he does promise to be there with us, to be that hedge of protection, that shelter. Trouble describes us being in a tight place. You ever been in a tight place? Hey, you ever been in a corner and unable to get out? Now, some of y'all, the way you drive and the way you park, I can say you've probably been there. But I'm saying in life circumstances, hey, as we turn to God, he says, hey, don't be afraid. Trust me, even though you're going through a mess right now. Everything in your world may be turned upside down. But the Lord is going to be there to comfort you and help you. Man, I've had a lot of friends in my life. Some are now in heaven. I got a lot of friends in this building. I got a lot of friends outside the walls of this church. But I've got a greater friend. His name is Jesus Christ. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not a fair weather friend. You ever met one of them? Up and down like a yo-yo. One day they love you, the next day they hate you, right? You can't figure them out. But Jesus is there with us in times of trouble, whatever you're facing. All right, another one under here. The Lord is here now in loneliness. Not only is he there in trouble, but he's there in loneliness. Hey, this is a painful problem for many people. I visit widows and widowers, shut-ins. Many of them sit in their living room, nobody else around. Many in the nursing home, laying in that bed, staring up at that ceiling for hours upon end. Cancer patients, holding on to their last day, holding on to life for the last days of their journey. And friends and families seem to have forgotten them. Millions of people are lonely because no one takes the time to say, I care about you. Do you know we're supposed to care for one another? That's what a church is all about. Can we say that together, ready? I care about you. I care about you. You need to be saying that on a regular basis. Not just with our lips, but with our actions. We care for one another. Hey, there's no doubt the Lord is with you, whether we recognize it or not. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You say, I don't feel his presence near to me. He's there. How many believe that? He's there. Don't reject him, or you'll feel lonely. Don't shun the God who is there. He's within you. He's there when we need him most. When you feel alone, when you feel abandoned, when you feel forgotten by everyone else, he's there for us in trouble. He's there for us in loneliness. Number three, under this point, the Lord is here now in persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We as Christians, we do have great privileges, don't we? But we also are going to endure some persecution along the way. More is coming, so we need to expect it if we're standing for Jesus. Man, the Lord's there when we're going through it. We need to be fortified with God's word right here, seeking his word every day. We need to be fortified by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit that lives inside of us, yielding to his strength every day. And then we'll be able to thrive when the persecution comes. You say, preacher, I'm just surviving these days. Jesus wants you to thrive through his power, through those times of trouble and loneliness and persecution. We need to be ready to say, this is going to drive me closer to the Lord. This is going to make me more mature in the Lord. Lord, thank you for allowing me to be persecuted for your sake. The Bible says we're supposed to rejoice when we're persecuted for his sake. And realizing that he's going to mean it for his good. Now, let me just give a caveat here. We've all got troubles. Can I hear an amen? We all have times of loneliness. Feel like nobody cares. We all have times of persecution when people reject us because of our stand for Jesus. But in the midst of all that, ain't God still good? I just thought about some things. All the good, while all that mess is going on, we still got some great things going on. We get to be part of a sweet, loving church family. We get together every day or every week. We have some wonderful people in this church. And we got some new folks coming every time. We got new ones here this morning. This is the friendliest church in town. And I want to thank you for that. Aren't we blessed to be a part of this church? Number two, I thought about we get to receive an offering today for our youth pastor and his family. We're blessed to be able to give to someone that has a need in their life. That's a privilege. That's a good thing. We've got an active youth group because of that youth pastor. They just took 40 kids to an activity, an all-nighter. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to need to do something about a van or something. We need more transportation. But God is doing great things. We heard from some of them Wednesday night. It was such a blessing. Y'all, if you miss praise and pie, I know, I don't eat pie. I don't need to come. You need to come for the praise. It was awesome. And to hear those teenagers and some of our little children, even Ollie. How old is Ollie? 3 years old, giving praise to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it was a blessing. And we heard from the teenagers there, and it was a great event. We filled up 770 shoe boxes. That's awesome. The generosity of God's people, Wes has already talked about it. We reached a lot of people through our cars and candy. We estimated over 400 people here that night. We had a blast giving to our community. Our little Team Kid Club raised $603 in their bake sale. And this week they're going to purchase something for missions. It all went to missions. Praise God for that. We honored our veterans a few weeks ago. I wish somebody would have counted how many we had. I know it's over 20. But we honored them a couple weeks ago. We got to hear the gospel kids sing. Wasn't that good? We got to eat pie Wednesday night. I wrote that down as a praise because this Thursday I'm going to do it again, all right, for Thanksgiving. All my family's going to be gathered for Thanksgiving, and I just praise the Lord that He's allowed that to happen, and I may sneak in a piece of pie. All I know, it's refreshing to come to a church and be together and dwell in unity. So while we got a lot of mess going on in this world, we also got a lot of good things that we can praise Him for. I thought about connection groups that meet this morning. By the way, I want to encourage you to come an hour early. Get involved in a connection group. We got some that meet through the week. It's awesome. Them Young Hearts, I love going to Young Hearts. Miss Joy's here. She loves that. Embrace Grace, Embrace Life, one of our new ministries. We're going to be reaching more ladies and helping them. Vacation Bible School, big thing. Church comes together, striving together in unity to get the job done, trying to reach children. We've been a part of that prayer walk with Love Life, standing for life. So important. That midweek refresh is one of my favorite times of the week where we come together and we pray. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. We got a potluck coming up in 2 weeks. Man, let's have a good time together. Let's enjoy that. And then we got candlelight communion. There are just a few things I wanted to mention. Just the goodness of God. Candlelight communion is one of my favorite services of the year. I love lighting those candles and raising them up, singing praise to Him. Don't miss that service. Those are just a few things I thought about. I probably left a lot out. But He's good. Number three, and I close, the Lord will be there with us. The Lord's been there. The Lord's here now. But the Lord will be there with us. I don't know about you, but I need hope for the future. If this life was all I had, I'd be miserable. Right? But we've got so much more to look forward to. The world only lives for today. Immediate happiness, gratification. Their future is uncertain. They're hopeless. And I tell you, I know a lot of Christians that live the same way. They've lost sight of the blessed hope. Are you excited about the Lord's return this morning? Like I talked about earlier. The glory of being absent from the body and present with the Lord. Man, that's going to be awesome. Turn over to one scripture and I close with this. I believe it's on the screen. Philippians. I turned to the wrong book. Hold on. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. How many realize you're really not a citizen down here? You're a citizen of heaven already. Amen? For our conversation is in heaven. That's where He lives. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are eagerly awaiting His return. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, your weak, mortal, sinful body. Isn't this wonderful? That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Man, I can't wait to get that glorified body. Unable to sin. Wow. According to the working whereby He is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what? He's going to be able to bring everything under his control. Like I said, he'll be in charge. We've sat down at the world's banquet table and we've stuffed ourselves with the things of this life. No wonder we have so little interest in the glories of heaven. But I want to encourage you to get your eyes off this world and get your eyes upon the future. And what you have in Jesus and his presence will be with us forevermore. Don't be absorbed by your captivity down here. Be absorbed by your future home in heaven. The book of Ezekiel ends on a note of hope. It's a message of encouragement to those in captivity. But I hope it's a message of encouragement to you this morning. This assured them of a future. It gave them some hope. Most important thing about that city of Jerusalem is that the presence of the Lord will be there. That's where I want to be, wherever he's at. Now, what are you facing this morning? I'll close with this. I'm going through some difficulties. I'm going through some trials. I'm going through some sorrows. Is God your delight? Do you find joy in his presence? Even in the midst of all that, when you feel alone, God is there. When your boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you, God is there. When you get bad news from the doctor, you hear the word cancer, God is there. When you lose a loved one, man, some of us have faced that this year, God is there. When your child makes bad decisions, I'll add grandchildren. God is there. When you wonder why you hurt so bad, could be physically, could be emotionally, God is there. When you feel like hurting yourself, God is there. When you're tempted to do something wrong, God is there. By the way, he always provides an exit ramp to where you don't have to go through with it. Even though you're tempted. When you make a mistake, woo, thank God, God is there. When you can't pay your bills, God is there. When you're afraid about the future, I got good news. God is there. No matter your circumstance. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want us to be thankful for his presence. Let's give thanks for that today.